Perhaps I could start by asking us to consider what is wrong with the world today. I don't think many people would say that everything is perfect. And so we've got the Extinction Rebellion, and we've got various other groups who believe that they know what the problems are in this world. Some would perceptibly speak of man's greed, dictators in this world that will seek to take peace from it. Illness. Many will be very worried about the coronavirus epidemic and other diseases. Many things that are wrong with this world, and obviously the climate change point is all wrapped up in the terrible weather changes and weather patterns that we see upon us. But all these things, I suggest, are mere symptoms of the real problem. And the problem, as you may not be surprised, or one doesn't generally tend to be surprised, is that it's within ourselves. And we see it here in verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, this takes us right back to the beginning of the Bible. And there were those who will say, well, how can you believe in Genesis? How can you believe that God created the world in 6 days? Well, that is the account that we are given. And what we hear in that account, read in that account, is that on the sixth day, God created the pinnacle of his creation, which was man and woman, Adam and Eve. And not created like we are today. They were created perfect. And not only were they created perfect, but they were created to live in a perfect paradise, the paradise of the Garden of Eden. They were given one rule, one command, that you can eat of any tree in the garden, except for one. You cannot eat of the tree of the fruit of good and evil. Well, we don't know how long it took Adam and Eve to break that one commandment. But what we do know is that it was broken. And that perfect communion that they had enjoyed with God was broken. Sin, and sin is the transgression of the law. It's the breaking of God's law. Well, whatever people today define as sin, no one can doubt that Adam broke God's law, because he was plainly told what God's law was. You can do anything but eat. He ate, he transgressed, he sinned. And in that sin, he brought death. This is going back to verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned. Well, I don't know how we view death. But for some, death is a friend. For others, it's just a fact of life that we have to deal with. And then still others, and perhaps this is more accurate, it's our mortal enemy. We see here, though, where it came from. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Well, we see that death has come about as a result of man's sin, of Adam's sin. It brought condemnation to him. He was condemned by his sin, judged and condemned, found guilty, and death was the result. Look at verse 16. We see, and not as it was by one that sinned. And we see here a contrast between the result of one man's sin and the grace and forgiveness that will come to us. This is just a look forward to what good news there is in this passage. So there's a contrast between the fallen man and Christ, the Son of God, who came to save us. See, the sin of Adam brought death upon us all. Going back to verse 12. And death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then we see in verse 16, and not as it was by one that sinned, so it's a gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. And then it was going on to tell us about the many offences unto justification. But we might say, well, Adam sinned. But how does that affect me? Well, we can see, going back to verse 12, that death passed upon all men. It wasn't just Adam that suffered as a consequence of sin. You might think, well, surely what should have happened is Adam should have died for his sin, but everybody else should have been able to be back in the position of Adam. But that isn't how things happened. Death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. What really that verse is saying is that everyone in this world sinned in Adam. And in a sense, you can see how that's true, because we all come from Adam. We may not have had an active mind at that time. Of course we didn't, but we were all in the loins of Adam. The human race comes from Adam. So the Bible says, so sin, we sinned in Adam. Otherwise, no baby would die in the womb. And tragically, far too many babies die in the womb or at childbirth or before they are of the age of responsibility. And David himself wrote in Psalm 51, that he was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. He conceived in sin. Conceived in his mother's womb. That is the truth of all of us. Uncomfortable though it may be, that is the fact. And so we see here that death is the consequence of sin. And going on to verse 16, what we've touched on already, there's judgment that comes from sin. We talked about death. Death was the judgment that Adam was warned about and that came upon him when he sinned. But there is another judgment that comes for our sin. The Bible says that after death, the judgment. We find that in Hebrews 9, verse 27. So many of us will. Many people see death as the friend that enables them to escape the judgment of this world. And so we have men like Mr. Epstein, who was facing trial for some unspeakable acts. What did he do? Well, before his trial, he gave everybody the slip by hanging himself in his prison cell. Well, he thinks he's escaped. He's cheated justice. And many of his victims no doubt feel that way. But the truth is that he may have cheated justice in this life. But the Bible speaks of him going straight to judgment. So there's another judgment that comes. So there's not just one death that the Bible speaks about. But there's two deaths. There's the first death, and there's the second death. And we find the second death mentioned in the book of Revelation. If you'd just like to go very briefly there to Revelation chapter 20. Verse 13, we read, "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." There's a death of the soul, friends. And that death of the soul will be a terrible thing. We read a little bit more about that in a very vivid picture that Christ paints when he talks about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. "This rich man," it says in verse 19, "there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fed sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence." See, there is a second death, which will be a terrible thing, because it's the soul never dies as the body dies. The soul's death is in hell, where there is torment forever. That is, in the end, the judgment and the condemnation that comes upon sin. So we see in going back to verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification." Which really moves us on to the fact that while we speak about the sin of one, now verse 16 is talking about that one sin, I believe. "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation." So one person sinned, that was Adam. And it's been contrasted with the gift that we have in Jesus Christ. Adam sinned. Adam sinned once. One sin. "For the judgment was by one to condemnation." That's one sin of eating of that tree, of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. That led to his condemnation and the condemnation of the whole of the human race. Of course, we know that the human race is not just guilty of that one sin. No, but the free gift is of many offences unto justification. Friends, we know that every person who has come into this world has sinned. And the Bible is clear about that. Just a little earlier in Romans, Paul speaks of the human condition. And he says in verse 11, "There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. This is the way of human nature. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every man in this world has sinned, and so many offences have been created. Many offences even this very day. Many offences probably that you and I have committed, even on this, the Lord's Day. But friends, while it sounds hopeless, this passage is about the contrast between what Adam left us, which was with a sinful nature, so that each one of us will continue the sins that he started. That contrast between him and the one who came after him, Jesus Christ, who came to bring justification. So we see in verse 16, not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. There was a judgment. There was a trial, as it were, after Adam's sin. And the whole world was condemned. But then there's something very much better. But the free gift is of many offences unto justification. There's a free gift. There is one who came after Adam to put right what Adam destroyed. Verse 17, for if by one man's offence death reigned by one, so by one man's offence death reigned by the one man and by the one offence. It talks about the opposite. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Isn't that remarkable? That there is somebody who has come to give us the gift of righteousness. For when a man is pronounced guilty, he is pronounced unrighteous. There only are two outcomes to a trial: innocent or guilty, or in the words of our system, guilty or not guilty. If you're not guilty, you're innocent. The human race is guilty. But yet we read of the gift of righteousness. And then verse 18, therefore as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so that by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Friends, this is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was sent into the world to live a righteous life and to pay for the sins of all those who would turn to Christ for salvation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, he was righteous. He, unlike us, had no sin. He was the Son of God. He was pure and holy. He was given a human body. He was both God and man. He came into this world. He lived for 33 years. He was tempted, just like you and me. Yet he was without sin. And then he went to the cross. He went to the cross as the Lamb of God. He was, all the Old Testament sacrifices that we read about in the Bible were types. They were looking forward to the Lamb of God. One Lamb sent to take away the sins of the world, to take away the sins of all those who would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For all who believe will be justified. All who believe will be granted the gift of righteousness. It's what we all need, friends. We've been condemned at a trial. What we need is somebody to stand in our place. The defendant is standing there when the jury return their verdict of guilty or not guilty. And if that person's about to be pronounced guilty, how much better for him if someone else could stand in his place and take that guilty verdict on his behalf. That's what's happened. Jesus Christ has stood in the place of sinners to take the penalty of those sins, to be pronounced guilty on our behalf, and to be sentenced for those sins on our behalf. And on the cross, this is a mystery. 3 hours the Lord Jesus was on the cross, and for 3 hours he tasted eternal punishment for us, so that we would not have to taste to suffer eternal punishment for eternity in the future. That is the great exchange, and that's why Paul was able to write in verse 16, "Not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one sin to condemnation for all of us. But the free gift, the gift of life in Jesus Christ, is of many offences. The offences of each person who sinned unto justification. Christ has justified us because he's paid on our behalf." And so in verse 17, we read of what happens next. "For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." You see, all the time we've been talking about death, the death that comes from sin, death being cut off from God. And indeed, in Ephesians chapter 2, we read that we are dead in our trespasses and sins, cut off, unable to do anything about it. But life comes from Jesus Christ. That's why the Lord Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." You need spiritual life. And in that life, we have freedom. And we will reign. We will reign in life by Jesus Christ. And that's what happens when we become a Christian. We come as Christians to life with God. And we have a victorious life. A life that is no longer a life of toil and misery, looking for the judgment that will come at the end of our lives. No, we reign in life. And Paul wrote in three chapters later, he wrote about the victory that we have over everything in this world. Just reading Romans 8, verses 36 and 37. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we, as Christians, wonderful thing is, we have victory. We reign in life. Even when a Christian goes to prison, when Paul and Silas were in prison, they sang praises to God. When Joseph was in prison, back in the Old Testament, he gained favor with the janitors. He had dreams which told the future of the butler and the baker. He was in a place of victory, despite the fact that he was in chains. And then you've got Paul himself, who he was in prison, he was in chains, and he was brought before a king. You might think, well, if he was brought before a king, he would feel humiliated. He would be envious of the position that King Agrippa was in. This is what we read in Acts chapter 26, verse 20, verse 25, he says, but he said, verse 27, sorry, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He didn't want to be like King Agrippa. Many people want to be, they dream to be royalty, wouldn't they? That's why magazines like Hello and others had such a wide circulation. But instead, he wanted them to be like him, without his bonds. Because although he was a prisoner, as far as they were concerned, he was free from the sin to which we are truly enslaved before we become Christians. That's the victory, that is the life, the reigning life, as it were, that is spoken about by Paul in Romans chapter 5. And so I suppose that I come to close, the question for each of us is, well, are we reigning in life with Jesus Christ? Or are we still dead in our trespasses and sins? There's a gift of righteousness by which we will reign in life by Jesus Christ. That gift of righteousness comes to every sinner who repents of their sin and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ for their forgiveness, believes that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for those sins on the cross. So my question for each one of us today is, have we received that gift of righteousness? Have we received spiritual life from Christ? Have we believed on his gospel? Have we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only sufficient propitiation, and that is peacemaker for our sins? Have we believed on him? And if not, well, may I invite you to bow your knees and accept that you have sinned, that sin has brought death. It will bring judgment and eternal damnation. But through Jesus Christ, we might know life. Not only eternal life in heaven with Christ forever, but spiritual life today, that we may reign over sin. Sin will not have dominion over us as in the past, that we might know victory over sin as we walk in the life that Jesus Christ has given us and in the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen.